All right, shalom uvracha to everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere. Oh, I was asked to announce by a Young Israel of Woodmere member. He reached out to me. They are going to be leaving. I don't see them here, but they're supposed to be leaving the Tehillim booklets on the Bima. And if anybody is available after shiur, this is totally voluntary. If you have somewhere to be, I have somewhere to be. I have another class. But I told him that. I said, I couldn't answer for you. I'm unfortunately not able to stay. But he said, whoever's able to stay, they're supposed to be the Tehillim booklets on the Bima. And if any of the women are able and interested to stay to recite the Tehillim, a booklet or two after shiur. Okay, it should be a schos for all of Kaiser, our Torah and our Tefillah. Should be a schos for only Besoros Tovos, Yeshuos, immediate Geula, Bekarov, and Shalom, Ba'aretz, V'simchas, Olam, L'yoshveha. Today we are going to be talking about Rachel Aminu. Rachel Aminu. The reason we are speaking about Rachel Aminu is because today is Yod Aleph Cheshvan. And Yod Aleph Cheshvan is traditionally observed as the Yahrzeit of Rachel Aminu. I also thought it was particularly appropriate because one of the most famous things we know about Rachel Aminu is that she never stops crying for her children. And of course, Baruch Hu promises Rachel Aminu, V'shavu banim legvulam, V'shavu me'eretz oyev. So given the matzav that we are in, this Shabbos will be, Rachmana Litzlan, 3 weeks since the war was waged upon the state of Israel and upon Am Yisrael. There are over 200 captives who have still not been returned. Their fate is entirely unknown, including, like we know, Holocaust survivors, babies, infants, children, people with medical conditions. So I thought it was very appropriate to learn some about Rachel Aminu, who we know is crying for our children as we await the prophecy of V'shavu banim legvulam, V'shavu me'eretz oyev. So I'm starting in, as I mentioned, and if you're just coming in, you need a chumash and a handle from the bima. Bli neder, I won't say it again, but that's a big bli neder. Okay, Parachav Tes of Bereshis. When do we meet Rachel Aminu? We meet Rachel Aminu. Of course, Yaakov Avinu had 4 wives, and Rachel Aminu was the beloved life. We meet beloved wife. We meet her in Perak Choftes of the book of Bereshis. In this Chumash, to be make it easy, it's page 146. Okay, so after Yaakov Avinu has his famous dream, right? He dreams about the angels going up and down the ladder, and he has a vision, and the Ribbono Shel Olam speaks to him, and Yaakov picks up his feet, page 146, Perchav Tas Pasuk Aleph, and Yaakov lifts up his feet, and he goes to the land of the east, and he sees a well in the field, and behold, there are 3 flocks of sheep besides the well, because from this well, they give the flocks to drink, and there is a very large rock on top of the Be'er, and all of the flocks gather there, and they roll off the rock from the top of the Be'er, in Pasuk Gimel, and they give the flocks to drink, and then they put the rock back on top in its place, and Yaakov says, Achai, where are you from? We are from Charan. Isn't that interesting? We just journeyed from Charan in the beginning of Lachacha. What does Avram Avinu do? Vayetzu l'lachas arza Kanaan. And where are they leaving from? They're leaving from Charan, because in the end of Perak Yod Aleph, we are told that Terach takes Avram, Sarai, and Lot, and leaves Ur Kasim to journey to Charan. Ah, where are you from? We're from Charan. Do you know Lavan ben Nachar? We know him. How is he? He's very fine. He's well. Shalom v'hine Rachel bito ba'a im hatzon. And behold, Rachel, Lavan's daughter, is coming at that very moment with the flocks. And Yaakov says, he doesn't say anything yet about Rachel. He says, you know, there's still so many hours left to the day. You're supposed to be out shepherding your sheep. Give your flocks to drink and go be a shepherd. So they say, no, we can't. We have to wait till all of the flocks gather. With combined strength, we roll the rock off the top of the well. Then we give the flocks to drink. He's in the middle of having the conversation. Pasuk test, V'rachel ba'a im hatzon. And Rachel is coming with the sheep, asher la'aviha, that are to her father, ki ro'ahi, she is a shepherdess, vayihi pasagiyod, kasher ra'a Yaakov, es Rachel bas lavan achi imo, v'eson lavan achi imo, vayigash Yaakov, vayegeles ha'eved, me'alpi ha'be'er. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb has a tremendous essay on this, vayesh, which we're not doing now, vayesh ketson lavan achi imo. So he sees Rachel, and he's overcome with this great passion, and he has so much strength, and he single-handedly rolls the rock off from the top of the well, and he gives the flocks of Laban to drink. Vayishak Yaakov the Rachel. Not only does he give the flocks, the exact same word. Vayashk etzon Laban, Vayishak Yaakov the Rachel. Notice it's the exact same word without the kudos. And Yaakov gives Rachel a kiss. Vayishas kol vayif. And he lifts his voice and he cries. Why is he crying? This is the first meeting between Yaakov and Rachel. Vayif. So why is he crying? Lefisha tzafa beruach hakodesh, zukt Rashi, pasuk gid aleph, she'eina nichneses imo lekevura. He understood through Ruach HaKodesh, through divine inspiration, that Rachel Imenu was not going. He was not going to be buried with her, which in fact, they are not. Rachel is buried in Kever Rachel, Derech Afrasa Beislacham, and he is buried in the Marat HaMachpelah with the other Avad and the Imaho. Another reason that he's crying, I just saw in the news last night that Kever Rachel is closed. It's only open by request. They signed up to who? The families of the kidnapped were able to sign up to go to Kever Rachel today. How appropriate that we are learning about Rachel Imenu, who does not stop crying for her captive children. Davar acher, lefisha ba biadam reikanio. Why? Another reason he's crying? Because he came empty-handed. He said, Eliezer, my father's servant, he had all kinds of jewelry and sweets to give Rivka, the sherech, and I am coming with nothing. Why does he come with nothing? Because Eliphaz ben Esav, I'm still in Rashi, ran after him. Why did he run after? His nephew ran after him because his father Esav commanded him to go kill Yaakov. When Eliphaz caught up with him, Eliphaz grew up in the lap of Yitzchak. He didn't want to kill his uncle, so what did he do? Ani nechshav kameis, he stole everything that Yaakov Avinu had. Now he could go tell father, Yaakov is dead. Yaakov has no gifts to give this beloved. So he kisses her, and again, he's crying. Why is he crying? We just saw in Rashi, he saw we're going to be buried with her. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayageid Yaakov the Rachel ki achi aviyahu, v'chi ben Rivkahu, v'taratz v'tageda, v'he's so excited, I'm mishpacha, wouldn't you know it? And she runs home to tell her father, and it was when Lavan heard this besura, he runs, because he's waiting for all the jewelry. He thinks, oh, when your father went to make the sherech, when Yitzchak met Rivka, there was all kinds of jewelry, which he remembers, and he runs to see what kind of jewelry is, Vayachabeko, Vayinashaklo, and he brings him to his house and he tells Lavan this whole story. Okay, Lavan says, you're my flesh and you should stay with me. And Lavan says to Yaakov, you will work for free. You're not going to work for free. What is your wages? And Lavan has two daughters, Shem HaGdola Leah, Pasuk Tazayin, Vashem HaKtana Rachel. The Eina Leah Rakov, Rachel, Haisa Yifat Tor, Vyifat Mar'eh. So Leah's eyes were tender, and Rashi tells us we know why, because everybody said, who's she going to marry? Esav, and Rachel was a beautiful appearance and a beautiful form. Vayahav Yaakov et Rachel, vayomer evdecha shavashanim b'Rachel bitcha ktana. You want to know what my wages are? My wages are, he loves Rachel very much. I will work for 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. Lavan says, good, it sounds like a deal. And he works for 7 years. It was just like one day because he loved her so much. He says, give me my wife. My days are up. I want to come to her. And then what happens? He wakes up in the morning. And who did he marry? Leah. The first source on your handout is from Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. Biblical shorashim is something that I focus on in my learning and in my teaching. And names in Tanakh are very significant. What does Leah mean? And what does Rachel mean? This comes from Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. The name Leah is derived from the root word Lamed Aleph Hey, which means to be tired. Leah or Mil'eah. For instance, he gives an example from the Makos, by Makos Dam, Vinilu Mitzrayim Lishto Mayim Min HaYar. Because it was all blood, the Egyptians were exhausted. They're trying to find water. There's no water. They're drained. They're exhausted because they can't drink water from the river. It's in next week's parsha also. There's by when the townspeople of Sodom are knocking on the door because they're trying to get out the malach from the house of Lot. It says they grew weary. It's the next week's parsha. From trying to find the dalas, from trying to find the dalas, the door. It's the exact same shorash. It's Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph in Bereishis, for your reference, page 86 in this Chumash. Es ha'anashim asher pesach ha'bayis hiku b'san ve'rim mikatan v'agadol v'ayilu limtsoa ha'pesach. They're trying to bang down the door because the townspeople of Sodom want to take out the guests. Page 86 for your reference, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph. And they're weary, they're tired, they can't find the entrance to the door. So I'm just showing you another place in Chumash where you see that this root means tired or weary. What does it mean? What does it have to do with Leah? Leah was burdened with responsibility, which she conscientiously discharged. And as a result, she was tired. She had a great responsibility. She was an Aim B'Yisrael. She was the mother of the six most illustrious Shvatim. This constructive fatigue. You know, sometimes you do nothing, maybe, and you say, why am I tired from doing nothing? And sometimes you work very hard and you understand that you're tired from a constructive purpose. Is the sign of authority, of management, of power, of self-assertion. This was the personality of Leah. If man has no responsibility, he will never experience being fatigued after a day of constructive work. There's two kinds of tired. There's tired, you know, you go on vacation, and I don't know, you sit in the spa chair, and you sit on the beach, and you sit under the umbrella, and like at the end of the day, you're tired. And why am I tired? What exactly did I do today? On the other hand, if a person has a position of authority, management, power, self-assertion, he is fatigued from carrying out his responsibilities. If man has no responsibility, says the Rav, he will never experience a sense of fatigue after a day of constructive work. Self-assertive, constructive work to the point of exhaustion and fatigue is represented by Leah. She worked so hard to become an Aim B'Yisrael. She cried and she cried that she should not have to be Meshadech with Esh of her Russia. She davened to have Shvatim, illustrious children. She cried that her husband should love her. She had self-assertive, constructive work. And this is Leah. This tendency towards self-assertion reflects the attribute of Gevura. So Leah represents Gevura, courage, heroism. And that's why she was tired. Rachel, on the other hand, what does Rachel mean? Rachelayim. Rachel means a sheep or a lamb. The lamb is known as a quiet animal. This is really the opposite of Leah. The sheep is shorn of its wool, which is then used for the benefit of others. The sheep's wool is shorn, not to benefit itself. Well, maybe it is because it will become too hot and overheated. But ultimately, that wool is used to benefit somebody else. The sheep is exploited so man can clothe himself. Rachel was the quiet woman who lived a sacrificial life and died young. She sacrificed for her sister Leah, she sacrificed for Knesset Yisrael, and she died young. And thus she represented the Midas HaChesed. So it's a beautiful piece by the Rav. Very short, but very beautiful. Leah from the root word Lamed Aleph. Hey, we saw two places in Chumash where we see that it means to be tired or weary, but it's not an exhaustion from pointless labor. It's an exhaustion from constructive, self-assertive work. And what was her work? She was building Knesset Yisrael. She ensured she would not become Esav's wife. She would become Yaakov's wife. And ultimately, she birthed the Kohanim and the Levium. Yehuda is Malchus. Yisachar is Torah. Zvul and the Chaf Yamim Mishka. And this is Leah. And that's represented by that's Gevura. And the other hand, Rachelayim, Rachel means sheep or ewe, E-W-E, which is to the benefit of somebody else. The sheep is shorn to give to somebody else. This represents Midas HaChesed. What is Chesed? Giving of yourself to benefit somebody else. Now we go to, so the marriage happens between Leah and Yaakov Avinu. After 7 days of being married to Leah, he then marries Rachel. As soon as the Sheva Brachos for Leah is completed, he marries Rachel, and then he has to work 7 more years. Leah, unlike all the other Imahot, has children very, very quickly. The last child, Yehuda, is born in the last Pasuk of Perachav Tesh, Lamed Hey. She calls his name Yehuda, Hapam Oda Et Hashem, Vatam Od Miladet. What happens after Yehuda is born? She says, this time I will thank God. She stops giving birth, and the next thing the Torah tells us is about Rachel. Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph. Oh, it's on your sheet. You don't even need to turn. Okay? The Pasuk right before this is that Leah has Yehuda. She calls his name Yehuda. This time I will give thanks. Vata'amod Milades. She just had Reuven, Levi, Shimon, and Yehuda in quick succession. The next thing we know in the Chumash, which is the next source on your handout, Vatere Rachel, so you don't need to turn. Vatere Rachel ki lo yaldol Yaakov. Vatekane Rachel bachota. Rachel sees that she is not giving birth for Yaakov. She's not having children, and she is jealous of her sister. Vatome el Yaakov, hava li banim vin ayin. Give me children, and if not, meta nochi. That's it. I'm going to die. Vayicha af Yaakov birachal. And the wrath of Yaakov flares at Rachel. Vayomer. And he says, what? Why are you coming to me? Hatachas Elokim anochi shamana mimech pri ba'en. Why are you coming to me? Am I instead of God? Have I withheld from you the fruit of your womb? So Rashi says, which is on your handout, vatekane Rachel bachota. What was she jealous of? Rachel said that Leah must be a much bigger tzaddikus than me. If she wasn't such a tzaddikus, if she didn't have such good deeds, then she, why does she have children and I don't? It must be she's a much greater tzaddikus than me, and that's why I have not merited to have children. Havali, she says to Yaakov, give me. What is she saying to him? V'chikach asa avicha le'imcha, v'halo hitpalel alaha. When your father Yitzchak, his wife Rivka, was not having children, in the beginning of Parshas Toldos, Perachafei, what it happens, what does the Torah tells us? That Rashi says, Hu omed b'zavidzu mitpalel, v'hi omed b'zavidzu mitpalel. What are they doing? They're both davening. Who's davening? Yitzchak is davening that there should be a child, and Rivka is davening that there should be a child. So she said, this is not what your father did for your mother. Your father davened for your mother. Hatachas, he answers, Hatachas Elokim Anochi, V'chi B'mkomo Ani. Yaakov says, am I in the place of God? Asher mana mimech, at omeresh esa ka'aba. You're telling me I should be like Abba. Ani eini ka'aba, but I'm not like Abba. When Yitzchak and Rivka did not have children, Yitzchak didn't have children with anybody else. There were no children. When Rachel does not have children, Yaakov already has, we just said, four children with Leah. So he says to her, you're saying I'm like Abba. I'm not like Abba. Abba lo hayu lo banim, ani yesh li banim. Abba did not have children, but I do have children. Therefore, mimech mana velo mimeni. It is you, from you whom God has withheld fruit of the womb, and not from me. Let's look at the very beautiful Ramban. Page one, last verse on page one. Hava li banim. She really here experiences and expresses a moment of great distress and great passion. The Torah definitely does not shy away from portraying, for reminding and teaching us that our avos and imahos were human beings. They were, I don't know, we're not in that generation, because obviously God feels we cannot handle their kedusha, but they were people, and she expresses a very real longing and a very great pain, and in her pain, she makes a very great demand of her husband. Hava li banim. Amru hamefarshim. We're in the Ramban. It's the Ramban to Bereishis, Paraglamid, Pasuk Aleph. Amru hamefarshim, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Shatit palal alai, v'im ayin meita nochi, Lashon Rashi. She was saying to her husband, you must daven for me, and if not, I'm going to die. Shemisha ain't no banim chashuv kameis. Rachmana letzlan, someone who does not have children, according to Chazal's nechshuv kameis. There's a beautiful way to understand that, but just no time now. There's four categories of people who are nechshuv kameis. An ani, an akara, a cheresh, suma. Okay, but we're not going into that right now. Vuhu medrash rabbosenu. This is the medrash of our rabbis. Va'ani tamea. But the Ramban says, I'm very puzzled. Im kein lama chara apo, v'lama amar atachas Elokim Anochi. If she was in such pain because she does not have children, and to exacerbate this, she sees her sister, Leah, who just had four, one after another. So I am wondering, says the Ramban, if this is the case, why was he angry at her? Why did he say to her, am I instead of God? V'shomeya al tzadikim Hashem. Isn't it true that God listens to the prayers of the righteous? So why does he answer her like this? What's the problem? God listens to the tefillos of the tzaddikim. Umasha amar abalo hayulo banim ani yeshli banim mimech mana mimeni lo mana. And what he said to her, listen, it's not the same. You're telling me to do that to my father, but we're not in the same situation. Father did not have children. I have children. From you, God withheld the fruit of your womb. He did not withhold it from me. Even if that's true, and it is actually true. It is true by fact. But still, what does it have to do with the price of tea in China? Even if you do have children, do tzaddikim not daven on behalf of somebody else? And behold, Eliyahu and Elisha daven for Nashim Nachrios Melachim Aleph Vinira. And the Ramban says that Yaakov, there were consequences to this. There were consequences to how he answered her, and there were consequences to... It's very hard. I don't know what words to use. I don't want to say lack of sensitivity, but there are consequences. V'nir shebishfilzeh tafsu rabbeseinu. I'm a vibracious rabbi. I'm not saying. The rabbanim, the chachamim, zichronam levracha, say that the rabbis took him to task. And they say, medrash vibracious rabbi, amar lo kodesh baruch hu, kach onim es ha-me'ikos. Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is how you answer somebody who is in the depths of pain. Shir Hamalos Mima'amakim. Kach Onin Et HaMe'ikot. Someone who is in such tremendous pain. This is how you answer them. That's what Chazal say. That God said to Yaakov, Chayecha, I swear by your life, God said, Shebanecha Asidin La'amod Ifknei Bana. Shabanecha, your children with Leah, Asidin La'amod, in the future will stand and beg before who? Her son, Yosef. Valder chapshat, and on the way of pshat, Amar Rachel, LeYaakov, Shayite Nebanim, on the derech pshat, as Rachel was saying to Yaakov, give me children. Uba emedat halomar, and in truth, what was she actually saying? Was she actually saying, physically give me a child? Can Yaakov physically give Rachel a child? No. Can any human being give somebody else physically a biological child? No. What was she actually saying? I underlined it for you. Shayit palal alaha. She was saying to him, really daven for me. Aval shayit palal alaha ad shayitein abanim al kol panim. She was saying, you must daven for me, non-negotiable. You must keep begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu until he absolutely answers your request. V'im ayin shetamid atzma b'tza'ar. Daven for me until my request is answered. And if not, she will put herself to death through her intense pain. Dibra shelo kehogan b'kinata. And the Ramban says she spoke inappropriately from these intense feelings that she had. V'chashva, but she thought, ki ba'ahava so osa, because he loved her so much. Remember when they first meet, it says that Yaakov loves Rachel very much. Yisana Yaakov, she thought, because you love me so much, you'll take on a fast day upon yourself. V'yalbash sak ve'efer, you'll wear sackcloth and ashes. V'yit palel, and you should daven, ad shiu lo banim, shelo tamu b'tzara. He will go on a fasting campaign and sackcloth, ashen, and davening, sackcloth, ashes, davening, until the request is absolutely answered and she will absolutely have children so she should not have to die in her pain. So what was she really asking? That he should pray for her. The Ramban, and his response, of course, is he becomes angry. He becomes angry at her. Vayichar af Yaakov. Why did he become angry at her? She'ein tefilat ha-tzadikim, top of page 2. She'ein tefilat ha-tzadikim bi'adam, she'tishma v'tana el kol panim. She was saying, you must daven for me until you get an answer, yes. Yaakov was saying back to her, yes, I have the koach of tefilah. But is it in my hands to determine how God will answer my request? Ain't tefilat ha-tzadikim bi'adam she'tishma v'tana al kol panim. It's not in the hands of the righteous to determine that God will hear and answer no matter what in every situation. Uba'avur she'dibra derech ga'agu'e hanashim ha'ahuvot la'hafchido b'misasa. She spoke in the way of a woman who is longing with love to scare him with her death. Chara apo. He's saying, you're giving me an ultimatum, but I can't guarantee the outcome. I can't fulfill my end of the deal, even if I daven for you. I am not God. The mafteach of Chaya is in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not in the hands of Basar V'dam. So I could daven and daven and daven, but you're telling me that if I do not guarantee you a child, you're going to die. You're going to put yourself to death with your pain. But I cannot guarantee you a child. I am a baser v'dam. And she spoke in the way of a woman with longing, with love, to scare him with her death. Chara apo. He was angry. I'm on page 2, line 2, about halfway through the line. V'lakach amar la she'enu b'mekam elokim. And he said to her, I am not God. I could daven, but I cannot give you 100% guarantee that God is going to give you children and redeem you from your barrenness. Like we have already seen, he was not choshesh in the matter. Leahad, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Who was Leah's husband? Yaakov. He was chastising her. His response was not to insult her, but he was saying, you're putting me in the place of God. Do I look like God? I'm Yaakov Avinu. It's true. His face is engraved on the Kisei HaKavod, but the Mafteach of Chaya is not in his hands. So what do you want from me? He's giving her chastisement. The heat, and then what does she realize? You know, Rachel, we're going to get to the psukim in Yirmiyahu, you see them on the handout. Rachel's koach, more than all the avon and the imahod, is that her tears are tefillos for Klal Yisrael. Perhaps, where did she learn this koach of tefillah from? And it says, Rachel mavaka al baneha. I've told you this before. Rabbi Zev Lef points out that Bechi and Lev are the same gematria. Lev is 32, Lamed Beis, 30 and 2. Bechi, Chof and Yod is 20, 10, 2. Bechi, they're the same. Because the avodah shebalev of tefillah is avodah shebalev, havei omer zohi tefillah. Tfilas belev and bechi emanates from the lev. So when it says Rachel using Rabbi Zev Lep's gematria, bechi equals lev, we could say that when the pasuk in Yirmiyahu tells us Rachel mevaka al baneha, what is she doing? She's crying, but she's crying in her heart. What is the avoda of the heart? I just quoted it. Tefillah. Where did Rachel learn that she cannot rely on anyone else to daven for her or for her children? She could only rely on her own. I know Einal Mishayin El Alvinu Shva Shemayim, but how did she learn that she is the vehicle and the vessel that must beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe from this incident, it projected her to become the matriarch who always prays for her children. She's not asking the Gedolei Ador to daven for her. She's not asking her illustrious father not to daven for her. She's not asking the Bechir Shabbos, her husband, to daven for her. She realizes at this moment in her life that she cannot rely on the tefillah of anybody else. And that's what the Ramban now says. Vihine hatzadekes. 1, 2. Fourth line from the top of page 2. Vihine hatzadekes, behold this righteous woman. Bir oso shalot tuchal lahasmoch al tfilas Yaakov. She realized that she cannot rely on what? Even Yaakov Avinu, the father of the Shifteka, the Ish Tam Yosheva Walim. Even Yaakov Avinu, she cannot rely on his tfilos. Shavali hit palel al atzma. El shomea tza'aka. She realized she has a direct connection to God. She cannot rely on someone else's prayers. Because even if you ask someone else to daven for you, could that person guarantee you a Yeshua that you're asking for? Even Yaakov can't guarantee that. She returned to daven for herself, to the one who hears outcry. Shavalit palel al atzma el shomea tzaka. Vizehu vayishmeila lokim. We're going to go to those psukim momentarily in your chumash, but that's why the pasuk says right before she conceives Yosef, the pasuk says later in Parak Lamed, we're going to look in the chumash, who did God listen to? Vayishmeila alokim vayiftach vayiskar alokim et rachal. Vayishmeila alokim vayiftach et rachma. It doesn't say Elohim remembered Yaakov. Elohim remembered Yaakov's tefillah for Rachel. She realized she can only depend on her own koach tefillah. And we can say, according to the opinion of the rabbis, it's impossible that Yaakov did not daven for his beloved wife because she was barren. Elo shalonit kabla tefillato. He did daven for her, but his tefillos for her were not accepted. And that's why she's angry at him. She says, you daven until your tefillos are accepted. He says, I'm not God. I could daven for you, but I cannot guarantee you my tefillos will be accepted. But your tefillos, the power of the Bechi in your heart, and that's what she had a moment of awakening. She must daven for herself. And yet Rachel came against him with a claim. And she said, you give me children no matter what with your prayer. How could he do that? He can't do that. She said, are you falling down? Are you less than your father? Your father did this for mother. And therefore he became angry. He said to her, what do you want from me? It's not in my hands. I am davening for you, but I can't come back with 100% satisfaction guarantee. We know his father's tefillos were accepted. The Torah tells us that befeirush. Hashem accepted the tefillos of Yitzchak. My father was a tzaddik. In the future, he would have seed. Next, we're going to look at Rachel and the birth of Yosef. So now we turn to Parak Lamed in Yerchamesh, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Lamed Chaf Beis. But to be easy, it's page 156 in this Chumash. Page 156, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chaf Beis. This is the Pasuk that the Ramban just referred to. So now we understand that I am proposing that it was this exchange with Yaakov which made Rachel become Mama Rachel HaMavaka Abaneha. She understood that it doesn't matter who else is davening for you. The connection between a Jew and the Ribon Shalom is so direct, you must pour out your own heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what she learned from the exchange with Yaakov. And therefore, Vayizkor Elohim et Rachel, Perek Lamed Pasuk Chaf Beis. And Elohim remembered Rachel, Vayishmael Elohim. What does it mean? And he listened to her. Look at Targum Onklus. V'kabil tzilosei Hashem. Hashem accepted her tefilos. V'yiftach et rachma. He opened her womb. V'tahar. She conceived. V'teleid bein. She gave birth to a son. V'tomer. And she said, Asaf Elohim et cherpati. Wow. God has gathered in my shame. V'tikrat shmo Yosef. Lemor. She called his name Yosef, saying, Yosef Hashem li bein acher. Rashi explains that she knew in Ruach HaKodesh. I'm not going to do the Rashi inside. Maybe. We'll need later. Okay, we'll do it inside. Rashi says to Pasuk of Dalet, Yodas Haisha Binavua She'en Yaakov Asid Lahamid Ala Shneim Asar Shvatim. She knew through Ruach HaKodesh, the Imaho, where Al Tzid Kaniyot, who had Navu and Ruach HaKodesh, she knew, it's in this week's parasha also, by Yishkum Arvam Lekol Sarah, the Ruach HaKodesh Shavah, beginning of Perek Tazayin. So she knew in Ruach HaKodesh that Yaakov was only going to have 12 tribes. Amra, she said, Yehi Ratzon She'oso She'hu Asid Lahamid Yehem Mimeni. She knew that there was one tribe left to be born from Ruach HaKodesh. There were 12 tribes to be born, 12 males plus Dina, because Leah Davin, whatever, different. Leah Davin, that Rachel should not be less than the Shvachos. Dina became Dina. And Rachel said, if there's one left to be born, it should be from me. So here we see, Vayizkor Elokim et Rachel, Vayishmael Elokim. Way before, Sefer Yirmiyahu tells us, that God tells Rachel, stop crying, your tefillos will be answered. Already in Sefer Bereishis, before Yosef is born, we are told, Vayishmer Elokim, Onklus V'kabil Tzilosei Hashem. Hashem accepted her prayers. He opened her womb. She conceived and she has this son. And she says two things. Yosef means two things. One, Asaf Elokim et Cherpati. God gathered in my shame, Asaf. In other words, my shame is over. Because now I have a child. On the other hand, or in addition, Yosef is also Yosef Hashem li benacher. Hashem should grant me, add for me another child. Of course, that other child is Binyamin, which we're about to go now. And with the birth of Binyamin, what happens? She dies. And it was when Rachel had Yosef, Yaakov says, I have to go back to my land. At this point, he's going to work, however, 6 more years for his flocks. Now let's skip ahead to Lamed Hey Tes Zion. Lamed Hey Tes Zion. To be easy, page 188. Lamed Hey Tes Zion, 188. So this is after he's finally headed back, Yaakov, with his whole family to Eretz Canaan. The confrontation with Esav happened. There was no massacre like he was afraid. Everybody survived the confrontation. Esav was appeased by all the gifts, and Yaakov prayed, and he divided the camps. They're going back to the land of Canaan. Vayishu mi beit al, vayhi od kivrat ha'aretz lavo efrata, vateled rachel vatikash b'lidata. They're coming back to Canaan after 20 years of working for Lavan. They're journeying from Beit Al. There's a measurement of land left to go to Ephras, and Rachel gives birth, but she has difficulty. She struggles. Kasha, belidata. She's struggling in childbirth. And it was when she is struggling in her childbirth, the midwife says to her, Al tiri, ki gam ze loch ben. Remember her plea when Yosef was born. Asaf, Yosef Hashem li ben acher. Hashem should give me another child. The midwife says, do not worry. This is also a child, a son for you. Vayehi b'tzeit nafsha. Her soul is leaving her. Ki meta. She is dying. Vatikra shmo ben oni. She calls his name the son of my pain. Now, his father does not want the child to go through life with the name Ben Odi. But Aviv Karalo Binyamin. So his father changes it to Ben Yamin, the son of my right, which is the son of strength. Batamat Rachel. Rachel dies. Ati kaver b'darach Efrata hi beilachem. Vayetziv Yaakov pasuchof matseva al kvurata. Hi matseva kvura Rachel ad hayom. I still remember when I was a child going to Kever Rachel when it looked like Kever Rachel. Not like a fortress and a military compound. I have pictures from when I was young of what Kever Rachel used to look like. And Yaakov erected a pillar, a monument over her Kever. This is Matzavik for Rachel until today. Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, I'll tell you the truth. First it was on your handout, but I like to keep it to one paper, two sides. So then I had to take it off of your handout. So you'll just listen to this excerpt from the Rav. Rav Salvechik says, quote, Rachel's fate was to sacrifice. Remember, he already spoke about Rachel meaning lamb, sheep, E-W-E, Rachelayim. And the sheep's wool is shorn to benefit who? Someone else. And the Rav already told us that Leah is Gevura, constructive weariness. Rachel's midah is chasad. Chasad is doing for others. Rachel's fate, says the Rav, was to sacrifice, to smooth the path for Leah through the pain of her loneliness. She smoothed the path for Leah to become an Im Yisrael. Rachel did not merit experiencing the comfort of her children, Yosef and Binyamin. She did not merit to be buried next to her husband in the cave of the Machpelah. This was Leah who had that privilege. We already saw Rashi. When he first meets her, he's crying. Why is he crying? Because he saw they wouldn't be buried together. Buried in Ephrat, she was utterly lonely in death, as in life. You know what I was thinking to myself when I was preparing this shiur? This same comment could be said about Yosef HaTzadik, her son. Yosef sacrificed for Knesset Yisrael. He went down to Egypt. He was utterly lonely in life. And so too in death. Buried in Ephrat, she was utterly lonely in death as in life. Rachel and her suffering and pain cleared the path for victory. She gave victory to her sister Leah. In Rachel, the attribute of chesed was realized. Gevura was realized in Leah. So I obviously wanted to prepare this shiur. I did prepare this shiur, Baruch Hashem. Given that the current matzav facing Knesset Yisrael, the 220 captives, babies, children, infants. When I was a young kala, Baruch Hashem, my kala teacher, Mrs. Shifra Spiro, who is she was my teacher at the time, principal of Beis Yaakov in Toronto. So she told me something funny. I was 19 years old. She said, you know, she would go home and say to her husband, she's told me this in subsequent years when I see her when I go back to Toronto. She says, you know, I have this call. I never had this before. Anything I teach her, she says to me, what's the source? She always wants to know. Her husband is a rabbi, and she always says, I don't know what to do with her. Everything I teach, she says, Mrs. Spiro, what's the source? So I smile whenever she tells me that, because it was a foreshadowing of what was to come. So when I really sat down to prepare this shiur, The first question I had was, how do we know Rachel Imenu's Yahrzeit is Yod Aleph Cheshvan? That was Taka, my first question. Then I went back, and I want to look with you at different instances in the life of Rachel, different Mefarshim, Ramban, the Rav, Rashi, not in that chronological order, to understand the personality of Rachel Imenu. But my first kasha, when I sat down to prepare, was, wait a minute, how do I know that her Yahrzeit is 11 Cheshvan? Because the Velt says, the Velt does say, but who says that it's accurate? The Pasuk tells us in Sefer Shmos Perek Aleph, these psukim are also on your handout, but there was no room. So I had to delete these from your handout. Maybe next time I'll make it 3 pages. I don't know. Okay, turn to page 292. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph in the book of Shmos. Page 292. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Aleph, Aleph in the book of Shmos. Okay. The Eidashmot B'nei Yisrael by Mitzrayimah. These are the names, we skip to the Sefer Agula over here. Before Agula comes Shibud Mitzrayim. These are the names of the children of Israel coming to Egypt. Yaakov, each man and his household came. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Ubinyamin. Ah, there's Binyamin. Dan, V'Naftali, God, V'Asher. V'Yihi, Kol Nefesh, Pasuk Dalid, Hey. Yotze, Yerach, Yaakov, Shivim, Nefesh, V'Yosef, Hayab, Mitzrayim. Pasuk Vav. Until the Shvatim all died, conditions in Egypt were good. It was a goddess of comfort. Yosef took care of them like his mother. He's Midas HaChasad. He sacrifices his own comfort. He sacrificed living in his land. He sacrificed being with his family for the sake of Knesset Yisrael in the most literal sense. He's lonely in life. He's lonely in death, like his mother. Once, when Yosef and the Shvatim were all alive, conditions in Egypt were good. It was godless, but it was good. However, what happens? Vayamas Yosef, v'chol achav, v'chol adar hu. Yosef died, and all of his brothers, and that whole generation, u'b'nei Yisrael par, v'yishutsu, v'yirbu, v'yatsmu, b'ma'ad, ma'ad, v'timalei aretz osam. The Shvatim themselves die, and that whole generation dies, and the Bnei Yisrael are fruitful and teeming and multiplying, and they're very, very strong, and they fill the whole land of Egypt. And immediately, Vayakam Malachadash al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yadas Yosef. Galus is only comfortable for so long. And something happens, and all of a sudden, it's not so comfortable anymore. First starts the propaganda machine. Then starts financial oppression. Pasuk Yud Aleph, special taxes because you're Jews. Then starts slave labor. We're building Pishom and Ramses. Ultimately comes infanticide. Okay, the parasha, the Sefer Shmos, begins with listing the Shvatim. And then it tells me that Yosef died, his brothers died, and that whole generation died. Mamish, my first question, we're 45 minutes into Shir, but my first question when I sat down to prepare, how do I know the Yahrzeit is 11 Cheshvan? Who says? Look on your handout, the next source on your handout, please, page 2. Rabbeinu Bechaya to Shmos 1:6. So as far as I found, this source is in two places. It's brought down in not Medrash Tanchuma, a Medrash that I don't have, so I couldn't look it up, and Rabbeinu Bechaya to Shmos 1:6. It escapes me right now. I just saw when I was preparing the shiur, not this morning. That much time I don't have. Today I did go for a fast walk and managed to read some of Mishpacha, in addition to davening, of course, etc., but not prepare the shiur also. Okay, it's brought down in a Medrash, but Yalkut Shimoni. Okay? And Rabbeinu Bechaya to Shmos, Perek Al Pasuk Vav. So let's look at this interesting Rabbeinu Bechaya. Vayames Yosef v'chol achav v'chol adar hu. Rabbeinu Bechaya, fascinating. Are you familiar with the source? I was not. Very interesting. Gives you the birth date of each of the brothers and how many years they lived. Now, since they were tzaddikim, and a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu is born and died on the same day, the days of their birthdays are also there. Yahrzeits. Let's look at the Rabbeinu Bechaya here. Very interesting. Reuven nolad b'yudalad b'kislev, umeis ben kuf chav heishanim. Reuven was born on the 14th of Kislev. He died at the age of 125. I've never seen this before. I thought it was so interesting. Shimon nolad b'chav alef teves, umeis ben kuf chav shanim. Shimon was born on chav alef teves, and he died at 120 years. Levi nolad b'yud vav b'nisan, umeis ben Kuf Lamed Zayin Shanim. By the way, that was interesting. I thought, Yurvav, what's Yurvav? We don't write that today anymore, exactly. That would be Tezayin. Yurvav is 16, okay? Levi was born on the 16th of Nisan, and he died at 137. Yehuda Nolad B'Tef Vav B'Sivan, Umeis Ben Kuf Yud Tes Shanim. Yehuda was born on the 15th of Sivan, and died at 119 years. Dan nolad Tes Elul, umeis ben kuf chav shanim, sorry. Dan was born on Tes Elul, and he died, what we call the Sersimit Teshuva, and he died, each of these have calendar significance, he died at 125. Naphtali nolad, hey betishrei, umeis ben kuf lamed gimel shana. Naphtali was born, hey tishrei, and died at 133. Gad nolad yud b'mar chashvan, umeis ben kuf chav shana. God was born on 10 Cheshvan and died at 125. Asher nolad Chav Shvat, umeis ben Kuf Chav Gimel Shanim. Yisachar nolad Yud Ba'av, umeis ben Kuf Chav Be'ishana. Zvulin nolad Zayin B'Tishrei, umeis ben Kuf Yudalad Shana. Yosef nolad Echad B'Tamuz, umeis ben Kuf Yud Shana. Yosef was 110 when he died. Binyamin nolad Yud Aleph. I underlined it for you. Here we go. Binyamin nolad Yud Aleph b'mar cheshvan umeis ben kuf tes shana. So here we have a source. Now, how does this tell us the year of Rachel Imenu? She died when he was born. Binyamin was born on Yud Aleph cheshvan. Therefore, since Vatikash Belidata, Vatomer La Miyalat, Hamiyaladat, Al Tiri, Gamze Yalach Ben, Vayihi Bitse Nafsha, Vatikoshmo Ben Oniv, Aviv Karalo Ben Yamin, Vatamat Rachel. If he was born on Yod Aleph Cheshvan, what does that mean about Rachel Imenu? That's the day she died. But other be'er, this is interesting. Lo naldu nishtayru l'afraimu l'menashe. So I actually went back to the Beni Bechaya and I looked at all the Shvatim's birthdays. And if you go back and you see, I made sure there was no other in Iyar. Nobody was born in other or Iyar of the brothers. Why? Nishtayru l'afraimu l'menashe. They were reserved for who? Ephraim and Manasseh of the status of Shvatim. When Yaakov Avinu comes down, we take out Levi from the Minyan, because he is called, I don't mean Minyan like Quorum, I mean from the count. You take out Levi, because Levi is Kohanim and Leviim, they don't get a Chelek in the Aretz. Ephraim and Manasseh, what, and you take out Yosef, because instead we have Ephraim and Manasseh. Yaakov Avinu says, Ephraim and Manasseh, ki Reuven v'Shimon yulu, yihiyu, Li. So Adar and Iyar do not have any birthdays of the 12 sons of Yaakov. They are reserved for Ephraim and Manasseh, Matsati b'Medrash Tadasha. So there you go. If you ever want, by the way, I really never had this question until yesterday. I promise. When I sat down to prepare the shiur, it never occurred to me, how do I know that she was died on Yud Aleph Cheshvan? Like it never bothered me before. But then I sat down and I thought, wait a minute, who says this is her yurtzeit? So there we go. The Korach of Rachel is that she cries for her children. I can't imagine how many tears she has shed. It's hard to imagine how overflowing her cup is. I don't know. The Psukim tell us in Yirmiyahu, they describe a vision of the end of days. The last three Psukim of this Nevuah are much more famous and the first four psukim. But the first four psukim are so beautiful. And Yirmiyahu is describing what redemption will be like. How wonderful will the geula be. Ki pada Hashem es Yaakov, u'go'alam yad chazak mimenu. I was smiling last night when I davened Arvis. Why? This is from Tfilas Arvis. And the bracha is right after Kriya Shema, before the Amida, we say this pasuk. Ki pada Hashem es Yaakov, u'go'alam yad chazak mimenu. It's so apropos that we say it in Tfilas Arvis. Arvis is night. Night is Geula, this week's Sedra. Eime Cheshecha Gedola, no Felis Alav. Darkness is exile. Darkness is Golos. Ki pada Hashem es Yaakov, u'go'alam yad chazak mimenu. Yirmiyahu promises that in the end of days, God will redeem Yaakov, meaning Knesset Yisrael. He will save us and redeem us from a hand that is stronger than us. U'ba'u v'rininu b'merom tzion. V'naharu al tuv Hashem. Oh my gosh, there's Seamus there. I thought I took it all out. I didn't. Al dagon v'al tirosh v'al yitzar v'al b'nei tzon u'bakar v'al haitan nafsham kigan raveh. V'lo yasifu l'dava od. Hashem will redeem Yaakov. He will save him from a hand stronger than him. We will flock back to Jerusalem. We will sing on the heights of Zion. And all the goodness of God will stream down to Knesset Yisrael. There will be grain. There will be wine. There will be oil. There will be flocks and cattle. And our souls will be satiated like a watered garden. And we will not continue to worry anymore. Az tismach besula b'machal. And then the virgin will rejoice in her dancing. U'bachurim uzkenim yachtav. And young men and old men will rejoice together. V'hafachti avlam l'sason. Because Baruch Hu promises he will return, he will turn over, he will change our mourning to rejoicing. V'nichamtim, he will comfort us. V'simachtim yagonam, he will make us have joy instead of pain and travail and sighing. Look at that pasuk. As tismach besula b'machal, u'bachurim uzkenim yachta, v'hafachti evon l'sason. V'nichamtim. In this week's Mishpacha, which just came this morning, there's an article on the kidnapped captives. It's called The Never-Ending Nightmare. I'm just going to read one excerpt. The family of 27-year-old Elia Cohen was among the first to receive information that he was being held in Gaza by Hamas. Said his sister Yuval, "My brother Elia was last seen at the festival in Re'im. We spent 2.5 days in fear and confusion. Then soldiers showed up at our door and informed us they had located his mobile device in Gaza. In fact, they were only confirming what we already knew because friends who were at the party who already told us every detail of what had happened. Apparently, he was able to escape by car as soon as the siren sounded. When it became clear that there were terrorists down the road, he ditched the car and entered a nearby shelter with 30 other people. A few minutes later, a terrorist came in and sprayed everyone at point-blank range. My brother was miraculously saved when bodies fell on him, effectively shielding him. But he whispered to his friend that he had been hit in the leg. Moments later, Hamas terrorists pulled him out of the shelter with shouts and screams. Based on this information, we knew with absolute certainty, almost absolute certainty, that he had been kidnapped. We recognized him in Hamas videos, but the army official confirmed it for us. His sister Yuval said her brother Elia might still be alive, which gives the family some hope, but also a host of new worries. It's sad to say, but as the hours went by, we realized the chances of finding him alive were getting slimmer. So when the news came that he was kidnapped, we felt some relief. At least we could hope. But despite that, the thought won't leave us for a moment. It's almost 3 weeks. We believe he's injured. We don't know how severely. And we're beside ourselves worrying whether he's receiving medical treatment. Does he have food and water? Does he have a place to sleep? Is he suffering terribly or being tortured? Our only source of information is the videos and pictures published by Hamas. The videos are unwatchable. Small children, babies, elderly, mothers, soldiers, civilians. And behind every one of them are family members who are so worried and anxious for their well-being. We try to hold on to hope, but we can't stop being afraid. I beg you to pray for the well-being of my brother, Elia ben Sigalit. and for the safety of all the other abductees and for everyone to return to their families safe and sound and for an end to this never-ending nightmare. The psukim continue, Virivesi nefesh ha-kohen deshen. I will satiate the souls of the kohanim with fatness, meaning with goodness, with the gifts, v'matnas kuhuna, once again. V'ami estuvi yispo'unu, Hashem, and my nation, you will be satiated with my goodness, says God. Ko amar Hashem, ko berama nishma, nehi bechi tamrumim, racham vaka albaneha, me'ana lihinachem albaneha kieninu. Rachel realized with Yaakov, with the exchange with Yaakov, she can't ask anyone else to daven for her for an absolute 100% guarantee of Yeshua. She can only daven for herself to the Ribono Shel Olam, the Poel Yeshuos. So says God, a voice is heard on the heights, lamentation and bitter weeping. Bechi tamrumim, bechi leiv, avoda shabaliv. How apropos that a yurtzeit is mar cheshvan, bechi tamiruvim, from the root word mar. Maybe the month is known as mar cheshvan because of Rachel Imenu's yurtzeit and the month of her bitter weeping. Rachel cries for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are lost. Kol amar Hashem, minikolich mi bechi veinayich mi dima. Hashem says, hold your voice back from crying, your eyes from tears. There is reward for your effort, promises God. They will return from the land of the enemy. We try to hold on to hope, but we are so afraid. I beg you to pray for the well-being of my brother, Elia ben Sigalit, and for the safety of all the other abductees. Yesh tikva la'achriteich, ne'um Hashem v'shavu banam l'gvulam. Says Rashi to the psukim in Yirmiyahu, v'chal mevaka al baneha, medrash agada, amar, shahochu avos, the last source, page 2, shahochu avos v'imaho l'fayes es ha'kosh baruch hu. At the time of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the patriarchs and matriarchs all went to appease God. Avram went, Yitzchak went, Yaakov went, Sarah, Rivka, Leah. They went to appease him, to calm down his wrath. Al Shehamid Menashe, Dmut Behechal. Wicked King Menashe put an Avodah Zarah in the sanctuary. God, don't condemn them to Chorban because they've strayed from your path. Velonit payis, God did not accept appeasement. Nichnisa Rachel, Amra lefanav, Ribono shel Olam. In came Rachel Imenu, and she said, listen, master of the world, Rachamai mi mirubim, Rachamecho Rachamai. Who has more mercy, mi abasar vedam, or you, the all-powerful God? Certainly, everybody would agree that your mercy is greater than my mercy. Your compassion, Avinu Avarachaman, is greater than my compassion. And I took my rival into my home. Shekol avoda she'avad Yaakov et avi, lo avad ela bishvili. Yaakov worked. We started in Parachov Tes. Yaakov worked for me. Laban says, name your wages. And Yaakov says, I will work for 7 years. Barachel bitcha haktana. Kishabati likanes lechopa, hichnisu et achoti. And yeah, when it came time for my marriage canopy, who did they put instead of me? My sister, my rival. Velo dai shesha takti. It's not enough that I was quiet. Not only was I quiet, I aided and abetted. I helped her take my place. So Hashem, who has more mercy? Af ata. Im ichnisu banecha tzorataka beveitecha. Shtok lahem. If your children have brought your rival into your house, please be quiet. Forgive them. Look away. Amar la yafela madat senegoria. Kosh Baruch Hu said to her, very nice, yasher kolcheich v'chali meinu. You have mounted a good defense for your children. Yesh schar lepulateich v'letzid katech shemasar tzimaneich achoteich. In the merit of your being mevater, in the merit of your taking an arrival, there is reward for your work and for your righteousness that you gave your signs to your sister. The Dan family's nightmare began when they received word three of their loved ones were abducted and are being held by Hamas. Erez Calderon, 12 years old. Shachar Calderon, 16 years old. 12, 16, and their father, Ofer, 50. There are no words to describe what our family is going through. The children's mother is my cousin. They were both in the Gaza envelope. They survived the massacre by hiding in the safe room and holding the door shut for hours to prevent the terrorists from breaking in. Even when the terrorists set the house on fire, the handle was red hot. They didn't let go and saved their lives. It saved their lives. But the other family members were taken and abducted to Gaza. We were in contact with them the entire time by text, so we know that Ofer, 50, and his two children, 12 and 16, were abducted when they fled the safe room and tried to hide in the bushes. As tismach besula b'machal, b'achurim uzkenim yachtav, v'hafachti evlam l'sason, v'nichamtim, v'simachtim v'yagonam. Today, 11th Cheshvan, is the Yurtzeit of Rachel Imenu. Halavai, immediately, and in our time, we should see the unbelievable nevuah of Yirmiyahu HaMelech, b'mheira b'yameinu, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, with the coming of David HaMelech, Mashiach Tzidkenu Yavovi Galenu, b'mheira b'yameinu, amen. Have a wonderful Shabbat Shalom to all.